In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. If you know the scriptures well, you'll know that these two readings, which are for different days, are right next to each other. The calling of the apostles in Matthew, or calling of the apostles, or some of the apostles, Simon and Andrew and such, immediately precedes the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount. By the way, the Sermon on the Mount was said to his disciples, not to the crowd. The crowd was at the base of the mountain. The Lord went up into the mountain and sat down, and this greatest sermon ever preached was preached to only a few people. He did that a lot. He said a lot of things privately to his disciples and his apostles that we understand because they are part of the mind of the church, but they weren't said to everyone. So why is it that the calling of the apostles immediately precedes this great sermon with the Beatitudes that we say almost every Sunday? Most liturgies. There is a tantalizing statement in this calling of the apostles. They're fishing. Most of the disciples, the apostles, were fishermen, the vast majority of them. And the Lord calls out to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." That's a promise. Sort of a odd promise. A promise that they might not understand completely, because of course literally they're not going to fish for men as they fish for fish, but a promise nonetheless. And his presence must have been such that they were entirely captivated by this promise, and so they left everything to follow him. And then immediately after this promise is given, perhaps actually a day or two, because he was healing people all throughout the region, he goes up into the mountain. They follow him, brand new, barely knowing him. He sits down and he tells them things that are completely outside of their understanding. This is important to understand how this promise will be fulfilled, because the promise is that he will make them fishers of men. He will make them great apostles. The entire Christian message, the Christian way of life, will spread through these few men. The Lord makes us promises like this. He doesn't promise that all will be apostles. I mean, the scripture's clear about that. Some are called by apostles, prophets, etc. But he does make a promise to each one of us. And I know about myself, and I think I know about you too, that there's times when you get real tired and you forget, or it seems rather distant from you, why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you struggling to do this when it's hard? When it doesn't feel very much like there's a reward? I think that happens to us a lot. It happens to me a lot. It happens to any priest who cares a lot. I think it happens to parents. I think it happens to all of us if we really care about something. There's always fatigue in something that takes a long time. Now, how do you get through the fatigue? I think it's by remembering the promise. Remembering what the Lord promises to us. Here's a couple promises. Perhaps there's other ones in the scripture that touch you more. He who endures to the end will be saved. He who began a good work in you will complete it. There's many like that. This is why we're doing what we're doing. This is why we struggle to be Christians in a society that is really not Christian anymore at all. It only has some of the trappings of Christianity. It's pretty much almost gone. And this is why, immediately after making this promise, which really applies to all of us, not that we'll all be fishers of men, but that we all have promises the Lord has given us, and He is not slack concerning His promises. He will fulfill them. Immediately after making this promise, He tells them these things that we say every day, every liturgy just about. He begins with, "Blessed are the pure, poor in spirit. Without humility, there is nothing." He says that those who are poor in spirit have the kingdom of heaven. There's another promise. If you look at all of these Beatitudes, every single one is about a virtue, or even more than a virtue, a way of being, a way of life, a condition of who we are that is not fulfilled immediately. The promise for all of these Beatitudes is not given to us immediately. We live in a society where we want things very fast. But Christianity is not like that. The perfection of the human soul, it doesn't happen immediately. It happens in very slow, small, torturous steps. So blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the humble. I think when we read this, we had best be careful. May God preserve every one of you from thinking that this does not apply to you directly. It does. Every one of you should think, when it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," that you are not among those that it describes. Because pride infects all of us. Those who think they are not proud, they are the most proud of all. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. What are you mourning for? What does the Lord want you to mourn about? Well, about sin, about your condition, about the fact that the Lord made us for greatness, for holiness, but we don't live in that way. Not only ourselves, but the rest of the world. And there's pain, and there's hunger in the world, and there shouldn't be. That's something worth mourning over. If you do not mourn, you are not a Christian. That doesn't mean that we are crying all the time. But if you do not have something in your heart that feels terribly sad over your own condition and the condition of the world, then you're not a Christian. Because this is part of being a Christian. Remember, to be a Christian is to emulate our Lord Jesus Christ. He was the man of sorrows. His sorrow was because of sin and how sin kept people from knowing Him. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meekness is to give in to the will of God in everything, to see God's providence in everything, to not take over for ourselves what is God's. Blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. This hunger will be filled, but it will be filled later. It won't be filled immediately. It will be filled over time. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy, and are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I think those really are connected, because God is pure and God is merciful. To be merciful and pure is to be like God. And if you can do nothing else in this world, be merciful. because God will not judge you for your sins if you are merciful. That's a guarantee. Now, the fact is that if a person is not merciful, they're going to have a lot of other sins going on too. Or if they're full of impurity, it's not likely that they're going to be merciful. Those two come together. They are two sides of the same coin. He goes on to say, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God." To be a peacemaker is to give all of yourself to a difficult cause without thanks and often without much progress. Being a peacemaker is really hard. That's why it's towards the end of the Beatitudes, because without humility, without meekness, without purity, without mercy, you can't be a peacemaker. You need all these other virtues in order to become a peacemaker. The last one is, "Blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven," and joined with, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." And then he says another promise that I think is just like this promise, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men," except this one is even more exact. "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven." I'm convinced, brothers and sisters, in my own life I see it. When I falter, it's because I forget. It's because I got tired and I don't remember what the Lord has promised me. I think that happens to you too. When you get lazy, when you get angry, when you get jealous, just look at your sins. It's because we've forgotten. We've forgotten that we are Christians. We've forgotten that the Lord has said all these things to us and said them with a promise. And He will fulfill His promises. I think it's important to get strength, know how to get strength when you're weak. Because you're always going to have weak moments. And this is something I've been learning slowly. You get strength from your weak moments by remembering the Lord's promises. And I don't mean in some sort of trite way, a counting your blessings kind of way. I mean deeply understanding that the reason for your being, the reason you are alive, the reason you are drawing air in and out of your lungs is because God wants you to be perfect and to be with Him. And that's all that matters. That everything you do should be towards that end. And it's worth it. We celebrate the saints of Russia today, and in other churches they would be celebrating the saints of Serbia, Bulgaria, etc. Some might celebrate the saints of Mount Athos. I think in the Greek church they generally do that. We're celebrating people who have believed these promises. So let's also believe them. So if you get tired this week, that's a guarantee. It'll happen. Remember the promises of God. May God help us. Amen.